Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Disrupt Ed. I am your host, Ron Stefanski, and I am conversating with people down here in the D live at New Lab. And man, I love my new home. It is a great place. And today we're going to do some recruiting. The guest I have today is a serial entrepreneur in the banking fintech world. You're going to find what he's doing in his origin story pretty interesting. But what we're also doing is we're going to try to recruit him to bring his big North American fintech coalition down to use the facility here at New Lab to host their first annual summit. So I'm here with Christopher Dargan, and welcome to the show. Welcome here. Tell us about your company, Chris, and give us a little bit of the details of what you're working on.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ron. Super excited to be on your show. Huge fan. Really, really excited to just kind of share my story and what we're working on. So I actually have two roles. So I am the CEO of an IT integration in the M&A space for a company called Synth. I'm also the chief revenue officer for our parent company, which is called Cloud Conduction, which is an IT managed service provider, you know, cloud optimization.
Right. I wanted you to explain that because sometimes the constellation of companies can get a little confusing. So Cloud Conduction is the master company, and then you're developing Synth underneath that as a sub-brand.
That's correct. So right. We wanted to be able to break it out.
So let's go back. So let's go back. Before we get into the details of Synth and Cloud Conduction, I want to hear about you. You and I met about a month or so ago. We had this amazing conversation. I think you found me through the podcast, and we started talking. And, man, you just struck me as someone. You know, I have these things where I when you have a lot of followers, you don't want to be disingenuous about your community out there. And so I actively try to connect with people on a regular basis and have what I call just a virtual coffee where, you know, just get acquainted, find out what they're doing, see if I can be helpful, see if they can be helpful. 100% always works. Always have great conversations. And man, that's how I felt like when you and I first connected is you have a real inner spirit and charisma and energy about what you're working on that really just I found fascinating. So tell us where you started and where that started growing, because as you self-described, you've had an unconventional path to power in the corporate world. And so I want to hear and dig into some of those details. So many of our listeners are in that disrupted world of education, figuring out, do I need a certificate? Do I need a college degree? And you and I have had several conversations about that journey. And so let's hear about yours in that context.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, as you mentioned, my path was really, really unconventional. I graduated high school, and I knew that I wanted to do more. And I was just kind of like random in my thoughts, and I knew I just needed to get away. So right before I graduated high school, I signed up for the military and moved away from Detroit. Went through boot camp, went to my first duty station in Virginia, and then off to San Diego. My parents weren't super pleased about that, even though I'm third generation Navy. They had this vision for me going to college and like becoming a lawyer or going to medical school. And I think my mom still thinks I'm going to be a judge. I'm not quite sure. You know, God bless her heart.
I finally gave up on the lawyer thing when I hit about 30, and I finally said, okay, I got to keep telling people that I'm not going back to that. I'm not going back on that pathway. I'm moved on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get that.
No, it was definitely, it wasn't my path. But then it was crazy. I came home post-military, and I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I like wandered a lot. And to say that me being sitting here speaking with you is like a testament to, you know, the will and spirit of the human soul is it's so real, because you know, I probably should have been a statistic. You know, I was getting into trouble, doing a lot of things I had no business doing, and was, you know, probably days away from just completely, you know, destroying my life. But my parents, my mom kind of stayed on me. The message just slowly started sinking in. And then I had my oldest son. And then I realized, like, hey, knucklehead, you got to wake up. You got to do something. I initially went back to a trade school. And that was kind of my beginning of where I started to remember, like, oh, I guess I am kind of smart. You know, I guess I do have some skills. Then I end up going back to college. I went to Lawrence Tech, and then I was looking to do more. I wanted more of like a campus feel. So I transferred to Wayne State. And even then I still was what I thought was scatterbrained. I was a mechanical engineering student. Then I did an internship with Halliburton. Realized I don't want to sit at a desk doing like software designs all day. So came home, switched my major like right away to finance, and studied Arabic language because I just like trying different things. And then once again, I thought I was going to go into like investment banking, and then I got it was really interesting. I went to one of these like open houses where they were like interviewing like investment banking candidates, and basically they were like, yeah, no, sorry, dude, you didn't go to the right school, you know, you didn't have any internships, you know, it's probably not happening. You know, and it was a gut punch, but me being like stubborn, I still kept going anyway. So I took a bunch of like random jobs and like finance. And at the same time, it was crazy because during that period where I was kind of out wandering, trying to figure out who I was, like I completely destroyed my credit. It was like bad. I mean, like bad, bad. End up in check systems. So I couldn't have a bank account. I had terrible credit and I was trying to work in finance. Go figure.
So there's something amiss there, right? That you're trying to figure out.
Yeah. Really trying to figure out who I was and figuring out how my brain worked. Cause I thought my brain was broken. You know, I thought I had ADD and, you know, I just kept trying and pushing, but I knew I had to do something for myself. I knew I had to do something, you know, for my son. So I kept trying and pushing. And this was like before LinkedIn. This was early days of internet. So there really weren't any resources about how do you rebuild yourself? How do you rebuild your credit?
How do you network? Right.
So it was just a lot of trial and error, a lot of failure,
Well, I like to think of it as either success or learning. You know, you're either being successful or you're learning. You know, it's not necessarily failure. I mean, you started out with this hungry appetite to make an impact, to do something with your skills and to identify what those skills are. And for, you know, for so many of us, you know, let's stay on this point for a second. So, you know, I'm mentoring my little brother Renard right now, who's at Southern University in his junior year. And he was operating a lot this last semester under the assumption that he had to have this all figured out. And I said, you don't have to decide today if you want to be an engineer or that's going to be this, you know, that's going to be what you want to do for the rest of your life. But what you can do is decide that you want to have a prosperous life. You want to be financially stable. You want to be able to provide for a family. Okay, so maybe college makes sense for you. That gives you a passport into identifying a number of different industries. But so many people graduate with a college degree and they think that's enough. Oh, I've got my passport in. And it's not. So you have to do what you're doing, you know, what you're describing, which is that interest, the deep introspection. Okay, I got to be serious now. I have a son, I have a family to support, but I also want to figure out where I belong and what I want to be doing, right? And I think that's the that's sort of the key to the kingdom, right?
It is. It really is. You know, I think so often, so much that in our society, we're afraid of failure. And if you listen to any of the startup stuff where they're like, you know, you got to fail, you got to fail. You really do. You need to learn how to fail because it's some things are only.
That's a really good point, Chris. It's failing fast and then picking up from there, right? And it's failing fast and learning from what you failed at and why it didn't work. And it's pulling those pieces out objectively without emotion and saying, okay, this worked not, oh, he did it wrong or he, you know, taking any, if it's a collaborative thing, you want to make sure no one's getting blamed. You're just trying to figure out how do we solve for X?
That's right. I mean, you know, you can walk out your front door and there's two ways to hit the North Pole. You can turn left or you can turn right. One way is going to be fast and the other one is going to be short. But if you don't quit, you will get there, you know?
Right. Okay. So you've got this military background, you've got this son to support, and you are deciding to go back to school. So you're at Wayne State, you're in finance. So where do the pieces all come together?
It was just a continuous path of exploration. I've always had this weird passion for technology and finance, and I actually started in tech. You know, so my wife went and did her grad studies at Michigan State. So I ended up working for a little small nonprofit in their like technology department. And they gave me my first little scratch at like technology. And I was like, wow, I get this stuff. It makes sense. It just developed this like passion for like finance and tech. And I saw my career as I began to like kind of A/B test my life and who I was, like going between like tech and finance. So working for eventually moving back to Metro Detroit, worked for the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, kind of worked in finance, worked in tech. I helped to manage some of their like technology and equipment, I was really thankful for. And then it was there, I was doing like I was part of like a research group. So this was like early 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. I was in a research group for between the Federal Reserve and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation at the time. And they were trying to understand what would be the impact for people being able to access their money faster, because we had been on the same payment system since the beginning of time, ACH payment.
Right.
So I was researching the impact of like the unbanked and underbanked, and realized that over 55% of Detroiters at the time were unbanked. And I said,
unbanked, meaning they didn't have a checking account and a savings account?
Nothing.
55%?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what the numbers. Obviously, we've had the proliferation of like mobile banking since then. But to my estimation, the numbers are still really, really high. And I knew that, you know, I got my entrepreneurial kind of like spark from my mom. I said, there's got to be a way to solve this for people, to help people.
Right.
People that look like me, and I was that. I was in that position. So I just started like working on building. That was my first app, my first foray into fintech. Wasn't a success, but I learned so much.
Right.
from that one, you know, launch point.
You know, that's the thing about taking chances on startups. And you know, for our listeners and viewers, you're going to hear a lot of stories that have two things in common, that have a variegated path forward where it's not a straight line. And then you're going to hear about people who are engaged in enterprises that don't work on their way to enterprises that do. We recently talked to Chris Kaufman, who started an enterprise. It failed. He went on to a second one. That one kind of took off. He was able to sell it and exit it by getting a sale possible with Yahoo out in California. And then moments, literally days before he was moving out to California, Dan Gilbert stepped in and said, I've had this idea. I think you're the guy to do it. Why don't you stay here in Detroit and why don't you work on this thing? And he literally handed him a cocktail napkin with the idea of a stock market for shoes, for sneakers. And now you have, 8 years later, you have StockX, which is at a $4.8 billion valuation. That happened right here in the D. And it happened from someone who had a non-traditional background and who was putting together pieces for a business that didn't even exist. There was no one saying, oh, yeah, we need another, you know, we need another company to evaluate, you know, used tennis shoes and which ones are vintage and which ones are just old and smelly, you know. I mean, you know, there, and it was the use of data analytics to create stock market dynamics in the sale and exchange of those high-end tennis shoes. And then it's gone on to do other high-end luxury goods. So same principle there. Fail fast, learn, move forward. And it sounds very much like that's been the theme of your movement right to the point where you came to synth and to cloud conduction. Is that a fair statement, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very much a fair statement. I've always been, as I mentioned earlier, in addition to like failing, learning that it's okay to fail and failing fast and trying things and experimenting and really being comfortable with how my brain works and understanding that, you know, I'd like to explore the edges of what's possible, you know, personally, professionally, spiritually, like understanding, like that's how I've been able to develop who I am. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I do a ton of reading. I read a lot. I'm in the middle of four books.
Right, you mentioned you were reading four books simultaneously.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you, which ones are they by chance?
Oh, crazy stuff. I'm reading, it's 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel. I'm reading Growth Hacking. There's a Hindu spiritual book that I'm reading. And then the last one, I had to check my phone. I haven't touched that one in a while. It's another professional development book, but.
And then you mentioned you also read like 15 to 20 periodicals articles a day. So you're really spending a lot of time reading. And so what would you say has kind of brought you to this point more than anything? And now you're sitting at the nexus of finance and technology.
You know, as I've kind of, I read these different articles and experience life, you know, through the eyes of other people through reading and understanding what's capable and what's possible, even if I don't necessarily touch it right now today, and being open to experience. There was some friends of mine, two founders, they had this tech company, that's Cloud Conduction, and they were actually working on an AI chatbot for a client of theirs. And we were talking via LinkedIn and they're like, hey, Chris, could you come over to the office, take a look at it, give us your thoughts on like what we could do to like really go to market with this. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll come over. Checked it out. And I mean, these engineers, they're amazing. They're like both incredibly smart.
These are cloud engineer brainiac types, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Like super, super intelligent brainiacs. I've watched them build things. I've left their office, come back like a week later, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're done. We finished that in like 2 days. I was like, oh, wow. Way smarter than me. But as I was examining kind of like their AI chatbot, and it's actually a secure platform chatbot that's like, super compliant that financial institutions can use and the data stays within their walls. I'm like, ladies, this is great. And we can definitely use this, you know, but if you look at what's happening in the AI space right now, there's a huge race happening and you'll get lapped. You have this other skill set that's like massive. And they were doing like IT integrations for in the M&A space and didn't really realize it. And I said, what about this unique skill set you have right here? Like, we focused on that.
A lot of gold in them there, Hills. Integrations have become the thing with large organizations, so many acquisitions, so many companies being smashed together. And then all of a sudden they have disparate learning platforms. They have disparate HR systems. They have disparate, one has Workday, someone has someone else. And suddenly you're in an integration dark hole trying to figure out how your employees are all work. You know, you want people to be working as one. And so you want to create a culture as one, but you have to have systems that support all that too.
That's right. That's exactly right. Without the right integrations, without the right technology in place, you know, you're losing culture, you know, you're losing value of the integration. You know, one of our previous clients, you know, we helped them save close to $1 million just because they were just so disparate. It was just stuff all over the place. And they just needed us to come in and do an analysis and, like, you know, help them streamline operations and also bring the teams together too, like you mentioned.
Right. Well, you know, Chris, your story is so Detroit, you know, non-traditional, driven by grit and some sense of personal spirituality and vision in combination, some serendipity. And then there's a hunger for success. And, you know, I see all those elements in the story you just shared with us. What I'd like to do for our listening and viewing audience, you've been talking with Chris Dargan, the CEO of Synth Technology and the Chief Revenue Officer of Cloud Conduction, and a very disrupted in the D story. Very Detroit, his grit, determination to kind of figure things out along the way led him to this point. So what I want to do is come back, because you're planning some big stuff here in the D, and I want to get a chance to talk about that. So let's give our audience a break. Come back for episode 2. You'll hear more about what's happening in the D live with Chris Dargan as soon as we come back. Get disrupted with us. Check us out, give us feedback, and come right back. Thank you.